Okay, good. So let's start the next slab over here. We're talking about landlords, tenants, and rentals and how that plays out. So we discussed last week that, was it last week or whatever, that the Indian of what's the relationship between the landlord and the tenant is like a memkar liyoymei. Is it like he owns it for the time being, or it's just a right to live there? V'chulu. So we're going to see another major nafkamina of this shaila. The papers are there. There's another major nafkamina of the shaila if the rental is like an ownership, or is it like a schus to live there? So as we spoke about last time, there's two types of rentals. There's a rental stam, bayis stam, and there's a rental bayis zeh. So the Gemara over here in Kofal from the Beis and Baba Metzia has a Gemara like this. Pshita, nafal le besa, nafal le besa. So let's say the landlord rents it out for a certain amount of time, and then the landlord's house where he lives falls down. So he has nowhere to live now. So Omar le, so you could tell him, le adifas mina, you're no better than I am. Meaning, the Gemara seems to be saying a logic here. That I am not, the landlord is not allowed to throw out the tenant. The landlord is not allowed to throw out the tenant because then where when you throw out the tenant, where's the tenant going to live? But says the Gemara, but let's say now all of a sudden the landlord has nowhere to live. So why should the landlord be worse off than the tenant? And he's allowed to tell the tenant to leave. And this way the landlord should have a place to live. That's what we're going to get to. What is the Gemara talking about exactly? Okay, but the Gemara does have a case that the landlord's right to have a place to live would override the tenant's right to have a place to live. Zavne or orte or yavi ben. Let's say the landlord gave away the property or sold the property. The tenant can say to the new owner, look, the new owner couldn't have kicked me out, so you can't kick me out either. No, this is the opposite. Here's where the tenant's rights, we respect the tenant's rights. Okay? Now, so what about Shmuel Brass's question? What? This overrides a lease? How could that be? So look at the next page. The next page is the Rosh. The Rosh explains the Gemara. The Rosh explains the Gemara. Says the Rosh, where it's underlined, the Kula Shmaita, this whole sugya, Iri Bistam. It's going where they're out of lease and they're in a month to month. Aval im sachar lizman yadua, but if you're in the middle of the lease, im kala zman afil ben tzachar if yachol etzia avachis misham. There's a halacha, I skipped that part of the sugya, but there's a halacha that says that if your lease, if you're renting to someone on a month to month basis and it comes into the winter, the assumption is that he cannot find a place to live till Pesach. From Sukkot to Pesach, people don't move. And therefore, if you're in a month-to-month lease with someone, you cannot terminate that lease in the middle of the winter. You have to wait till Pesach. So the guy lives there. Simchas Torah. That's it. He's there till Pesach. Okay? Obviously, if he has a lease, he has a lease. But if he's on a month-to-month and he's in there on Simchas Torah, you cannot kick him out till Pesach. Says the Gemara, here's an exception. The whole logic to that is because he won't have a place to live. Okay, but I also won't have a place to live. My house burnt down. So therefore, even though we normally respect the rights of the tenant to stay in there until Pesach, in this case, we wouldn't. But says the Rosh, obviously, it's only on a month-to-month. We're not talking about the middle of a lease. So there's your answer to your question. So you see the concept that on a month-to-month, on a month-to-month type of lease, we would allow the landlord to take the property away from the tenant, but in a lease, we would not. And some of the mafarshim speak out, beferish, that the reason for that is, like we said last time, because if you rented it out for a certain amount of time, it's like you sold it to him. So it's like you sold it to him, that's it. You can't do anything else. You can't take it away from him. Okay, now, interesting. Okay, so that's pretty much the halacha. So the way we hold the halacha is that a month-to-month rental you cannot kick him out in the middle of the winter. But if you have a need for the house in a way that you could not have predicted, you're allowed to now take over the lease and put yourself in the middle of the winter, no matter what. Okay, if you're out of the lease. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. I want to read it inside. And I want to tell you a very interesting Shaila from Moshe and a few other things that of the nature that will border a little bit on the Dina de Malchus Dina issue.
Does the Torah stipulate what the terms of that, the evictions are? Do you have to give 30 days notice?
30 days notice.
30 days notice?
Yeah. Yeah. 30 days notice. So look in the Shulchan Aruch, which is the next page in the Maamar Kaimis. So it's Simon Shin Yud Beis in Chosh Mishpat. So it says like this: Hamaskir l'chaveri bayis v'chotzer imerchat. You rented out to your friend a house or a chotzer, which is an open place to do some sort of, you know, needs. Oy chanus or a store lizman kotzer for a specific amount of time. Eina yochol lachzer, but you cannot go back on that. Ulo etziyot teichzmanay and to evict him in the middle of the lease. Afilu nafal beis v'shamaskir, even if you have no place to live anymore. You rent him out office space, and now you don't have office space. So you're like, hey, I want it back. Sorry, I'm in the middle of the lease. Even if you're poor, and now you have to sell it, you're only allowed to sell it in a way that the new owner will have to respect
subject to the lease.
Okay, that's pretty obvious. Fine. Now, ad kdekach, by the way, you know that there's a question, there's a sugya called Davar Shaloi Baloilam. The Lamdanim over here will appreciate this kasha. It's unbelievable kasha. There's a sugya of Davar Shaloi Baloilam. So am I allowed to sell you something? I'm in the middle of a deal. I'm going to close that deal June 1st. Yeah. I'm in the middle of a deal. We're working on it all out. We have a contract. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to close on it June 1st. Fine. Am I allowed to go to someone else and sell to them now on June 2nd? We'll make a contract. And June 2nd, I'm selling it to you. I'm telling you, I'm closing on June 1st. Can I sell it to you on June 2nd? And we'll make a whole kinyan and everything. And then June 1st, I decide to, you know, I did the whole deal. Close, and then I go to you and say, sorry, I changed my mind. Am I allowed to change my mind or not allowed to change my mind? So the halacha is you're not allowed to sell a dover. You can't make a kinyan on a dover shaloi bala oilam, something that you don't have possession over, you cannot sell. So the fact that I sold it to you, right, the fact that we made a deal that, you know, June 2nd, I'm going to flip you the property. Since I didn't own the property when we made that deal is invalid completely, and I could be chayzer on that deal. It's called that, it's like I'm selling a dover shaloi bala oilam. Right? So the Erech Lechem over here in the Mefarshim asks Akasha that if we consider a rental, a sale Lizman, so how could I ever sell a property that's rented out? Legabe, that you'll be able to move in after the tenant moves out. But during the tenancy, it's not mine. So maybe it's like I'm selling a Davar Shelo Balaylo. That's how, you know, I'm just showing from the question that you see how much he's considering a rental, a real sale. In other words, during the time of the rental, the property is not considered b'shusa of the owner, could be. It's not considered b'shusa of the landlord.
Certain, meaning, obviously, it's an ownership, but it's still, the landlord has certain rights to the property and certain responsibilities also to the property.
Right. So you're saying since he's still maintaining a chrayas to it, so it would make sense to say that he's considered, it is considered,
you
don't
call him a
mechira
for the day.
Right. So the place can say, oh, that's what he says. Okay. But anyway, that's a nice kasha for the Lamdanim out there. But the bottom line is you're allowed to sell the property and it's subject to the lease.
To the extent that we're saying that if you have a mechira, so therefore you have to honor that, to coup over their book. It would it be kineged halacha that put in the rental lease that certain contingencies that I would be able to take back, you know, the bylaws? In other words, is halacha saying that you shouldn't draft the lease in a certain way if it's inappropriate for
planning? Drafting the lease is never kineged halacha, because if both sides agree, then you can do whatever you want. Well, we're going to see a tshuva from Rav Moshe.
This is only to the extent the lease is. Yeah. Clarify a certain point, then
right. I'll tell you where this comes up, where this came up, is Ramesh has a Gevaldika tshuva about rent control. Because what happens in the rent control, rent controlled apartments, is you can never evict the tenant. So there the question is, you have two firm people, right? The landlord and the tenant. And the tenant says, well, I'm following the rent control. And the landlord says, you're out of here. So do you say Dina D'machlus Adina on that? Or do you say, look, we're too firm Yidin, let's go to Bezdin. Bezdin will paskin that you have no right to continue in the apartment and get out of here. That's a major nafkamina of this whole thing, right? Because that's not in the lease. That's outside the lease.
You say rent control basically extends the bylaws forever?
Rent control makes it that certain different terms. Rent control means that it's not worth it to own any apartments in the places where they're controlled in New York City. Because you can't kick out, you can't even, and now it's even worse, apparently, people were telling me.
You can't fix things.
Yeah, even if a new tenant is still subject to the thing, and but the point is the tenant stays there forever at maybe a 1% increase.
And the tenant's kids stay there, and their grandchildren stay there.
Yeah, there's nothing you could do about it.
Just don't buy the building.
What?
You could offer the person a house if they know somebody who had a rent control place in Lower East Side. The landlord said, "I'm buying you a house in months."
Right. So that is a major nafkamina of this sugya, okay? Because that's where the minig will maybe, you know, well, let's get to that. Okay? So I want to show you one thing and then we'll get to that shaila. So fine, that's the halacha. Now, there is, if you go skip the next page, so there's another page in Shulchan Aruch. It should have a 7 on top. You know, it's not 7 in that particular pamphlet, but Hamaske Bais Chaveroi. Okay, there's Rama. Okay, it's still Shinyud Beis if Aleph. Hamaske Bais Chaveroi, B'toich HaZman, Roitze Livnoisai. And during the Zman, he wants to build it. He wants to, you know, improve the apartment. Ein Yachol Lachach Foy Latzeis. You cannot ask the tenant to leave so that you could fix up the apartment. Afilu Labayis Yafe Mimenu, even to an apartment that's even a better quality. We ask the Soich for permission, but really you cannot remove him. So during the lease, you cannot remove the tenant. During the lease, you cannot remove the tenant from the property, period. Okay? During the lease, you cannot remove the tenant, even if you're for the purpose of fixing the apartment. Says the Shach on top, Hainu bebayis ze. Avo bebayis stam mashma lekamon diyochol lohitzioi lebayis kamoyu. Says the Shach that's by bayis ze, but by bayis stam yochol lohitzioi lebayis kamoyu. So the Shach is telling us two halachas. If you tell the person bayis ze, you cannot move him. Once he's in there, this house, you made a lease on this house, you cannot move him once he's in there. But if you just said bayis stam, which we said last time, maybe he's talking about like in a vacation scenario or an office rentals, different case where you're just kind of renting them office space, 1,000 square foot office space in this building. So the question is, in the middle of the term, can you go to the person and say, hey, I'm moving you to another office? Or do you say, once you sign the year lease, the guy could say, I want to be there for the year. Can't start moving me around every 5 minutes. Right? What's the legalities of that?
Depends what it says in the lease.
Right.
But he's saying without the lease,
by stam, according to the Shach, you would be permitted.
But again, does this simply touch upon like all the things in terms of what's
the Mishra's
I did, how
someone
should have,
you
should treat it.
It says,
so the Mishra's I did. You should, all these people, this is not a problem, one should have. Okay, you went ahead and you put some clause in there. Is that really within the keeping of...
Okay, I mean, that's a separate issue. But right now, this is talking about the Ikra, then you're allowed to. Now, the Nesivis, which I think I put in there, on the next page, the Nesivis HaMishpat asks on this Shach, he says, that makes no sense. Ayin Shach, If you just told someone, I'm giving you 1,000 square foot of office space in the building, and he walks in there and he's there for a month, after a month you can move him to another spot. Says the Nesivis, it doesn't make sense. Every day you're going to move him to another place? That can't be. I don't want to come in every day having to move my stuff. I rented the house al das that I was going to stay there for the year. So there's a major machlokes here between the shach and the nesivis. What would be the halacha if you rented out an apartment bistam? You rented out, you know, generic office space. Would you be allowed to move the guy in the middle of the term? So we said, once you're in the middle of the term, you can't kick him out. Says that but I can't kick him out. But by stam, I can't put him on the street, but maybe I could give him another one of similar quality. So that's the machlokes between the shach and the nesivis hamishpat. I assume a bezdin would say that maybe because of what we said last time. Who's the muchzak? Who's the muchzak on the karka?
What makes it machshava reasonable? So the nesivis only say because my machshava is I didn't want to touch yeah, but that's not what a reasonable machshava would be. And we also, it's not even addressing at whose expense.
No, he brings Raya's afterwards. He says, because it's Shchuna Gabe in last sugya of Bar Metzra. Right? Bar Metzra meant that the person who's living, who's the closest to the apart, to the land that's being sold, has the rights of first refusal. And one of the things was that a rental, a tenant, according to the Ramaz Shita, was considered a Bar Metzra. So he says, you see that the renter is there. He can't just, you know, he wants to bring a Raya from that. That's considered that he's Shchuna Gabe. He's there, and you can't just move him. No, but he's saying, you see that living somewhere is considered somewhat of a temporary thing, that there's yashar v'toyv not to move it out of there. Otherwise, what's the big deal? Who cares? Why should that be yashar v'toyv to let him live there? Obviously, it's considered a certain schia that he should be allowed to be there. So he has a taina to say, don't move me around.
Sometimes the yashar v'toyv is to move the guy out. In other words, I got a guy who wants to take 100,000 feet in building, and got some yutz and sitting there with 1,000 feet blocking the whole thing. Meisim b'cholayom. No, so Yashar Tov is like the guy should talk.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay,
paying,
fine.
Paying expenses. So
right. I mean,
the
first of all,
you said, you know who's the wrong. Who's
right?
Here.
Correct. Is that by? Is that Tov? Can you wait till the guy's out of lease?
No, most commercial leases have a provision that I can move you out if I get a bigger thing, as long as I pay for everything. So
right.
It depends what you negotiate.
Right.
Obviously, move you out to another place or move you out.
Depends what the lease says. Some of them say in the place, some say in the building. So it depends on what the lease says.
And if not, you pay triple what it's worth and he moves out anyway.
Yeah.
Give him some money. It's a
yeah.
Okay, that's what he was saying. Right. Okay, so this is a machlokes about bayis stam, when you did not specify the house. Can you move him around from place to place? So that's the machlokes between the shach and the nesivis. What about the opposite? You had bayis zeh, I specified the house, but before you moved in, I changed my mind and I want to give you a different one. Once you would move in, that's it, I can't move. What about before you move in? On that page is a ketzois. And the ketzois says like this, kasav ha-shach, t'ayinu b'bayi stam, b'bayi zeh in yochol ha-tziyot, v'nir d'bayi zeh afil l'madayin lo yoridoi b'toichoi, kivin d'kona b'kinyoni ha-schir sav k'memkar, v'shuv in yochol ha-chlifoi b'acher, afil l'mikotan l'gadol. So the shach, the ketzois ha-choish in Paskins, that a rental is so much so like a purchase, that if you made a kinyan on a specific property, even if you never moved in, the guy cannot move you to a different one of equal or better quality. Okay? Now, so this is the flip side of the coin. By bayis stam, we have a machlekes. According to the shach, bayis stam, nothing. You can move him all day long. Now, what about bayis zeh? The ketzois is saying bayis zeh is so strong that even before you moved in, you can't move it. So this shaila was posed to Ramosha Feinstein, and Ramosha said that he passed in like the shach, that before the guy moved in, he would allow him to move him to a different place. And then he brings here a whole story that his father told him, no, we pass like the Ketzos. He quotes his father. Maisi says, I didn't really understand my father's whole thing. In the end, he passes like the Shach. But it's interesting, Shiloh. Let's look at the Shiloh. It's the last Shiloh here. Hiskir chanuz zeh, ve'ino yochol litin zeh l'acheres, toiva kazu. What happened? What happened was that echad sheyesh l'chanuyes achadois. I have a storefront. Let's say I have a strip mall. I own a strip mall and there's a lot of storefronts. Ve'hiskir l'chaver chanuz zeh, and we made up that you have address number, unit number 3. And we have a lease that's signed, ready to go, starting, like I said, June 1st. I just got a hold of the strip mall and I, you know, gave it away to my kids. I have 3 sons. I gave a third of it to each son. The mice said, this kid went ahead and sold that unit to someone else. And by the way, the tenant knew about it and didn't say anything. So here the argument was the opposite. The argument was, you're not gonna give me the one we made up. So now you're gonna go and try and put me into a different unit. You're gonna put me in unit 2. I'm gonna claim I don't want unit 2. And now the tenant wants to break the lease. Why does the tenant want to break the lease? Because he found a better deal somewhere else. So the tenant wants to use this excuse to break the lease. The landlord's finding, I'm being mekayim the lease. Because the fact that I said unit 3, if you never moved into unit 3, doesn't hold me accountable to unit 3. And I want to put you in unit 2. And it's not called that I'm breaking the lease. So the landlord is saying, I want to put you in unit 2. And I'm not breaking the lease. So you're meshubah to the lease. And the tenant is saying, no, I'm out of the lease. Is the question clear? Clear? Yeah? So says Rav Moshe, Vidanti, Shema Maske, Noisin Lachanus, Toiva Kazusha, Hiskilo, Eina Yochel, Avata, Aschiris, and brings right from the Mordechai, etc. Fine.
I presume it makes a doctrine between space 2 and 3 in terms of location.
No, everything is a fakir. He was saying 2 is even better, maybe. It's even larger.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's presumably saying, he's saying it's a better, right. Same for him. So look at the next paragraph. When I told my father, my psak, the ktsois argues on the shach. You can't do this. Now, what happens is like this. Now we have to get psychological. The tenant is going to say what Ephraim said. The tenant is going to say, oh, unit 2? Nah, there's no way. That's not equal. It says, Ramosha, we know, everyone knows that the tenant's only saying that because he found a better property somewhere else. So we don't believe him in his claim that 2 is not as good as 3. And therefore, it says, Ramosha, he holds like that and he argues on the Ketzos and he brings it down. I couldn't understand where the Pesach Tshuva, whatever. But then he says, my brother agreed with me that we neither of us understood my father's point and we paskin like the Shach, not like the Ketzos. That's what he writes. Okay, there's no date on this Tshuva. Okay. Okay, so here's you see an example of this case. Okay, so those are the two sides of the coin. If you did not specify a property before he moved in, obviously you could switch it around as much as you want. After he moved in, is a machlokes between the shach and the nesivus. What would be the halacha in a case where it's by zeh? Then after you moved in, you can't touch it during the time of the lease. Even if you lost your house, even if it got poor, anything, even if it was sold. If it's a month to month and you need the house and circumstances change, you could kick about even by a zeh. But Babai Zeb, before he moved in, that's a machloikis between the Ketzois and the Shach. And Ramosha Paskins, like the Shach, Ramosha's father, Paskin, like the Ketzois. And we can, you know, that's what it says. So that's the Shiloh. Now, I want to go a little bit into the sugya of the rent control. So what's the Shiloh? There's two Shilohs of the rent control. One is that rent control departments, you can never kick the tenant out. And the other one is you can't really raise the rents. Now, in the sugya that we were talking about, Shmuel, when we were talking that if you're in a month-to-month, you cannot kick the person out until Pesach, right? That's what we said. So it means you're month-to-month. Now comes, he's the day after Sukkot. He's there till Pesach. But the Gemara says, he's there till Pesach, but you're allowed to raise the rent to the going rate. Okay? So you're not going to say, well, look, last year apartments went for X. Now that apartments are going for Y or houses are going for Y, oh, I'm into Pesach at last year's price. No, you're into Pesach, but you have to pay me this year's price. And the Gemara says you can't raise it beyond the going rate because then that's equivalent to kicking them out. Obviously, right? So, but you could raise the rent to the going, you could raise the rent to the going rate. Okay? So now the Shaila is on a rent control department. So what happens? So you moved in and now they make rules. The rules are you can only raise the rent 0.5% a year. Okay? And you can never kick the guy out. Both of those things are shalai halacha. Because according to halacha, you could raise it to the going rate, A, and you could kick him out. You're not mechuyev to renew the lease. So two firm people come to Beis Din. The landlord claims that I don't want to follow. Look, if I had a guy in there, so we're shubit to Dina de Machusadina. But if it's two Yidin, so what was Dina de Machusadina come in? We should follow the halacha on this apartment. Who cares if there's a rent control? But this is between us.
At what point is the shadow? When the lease is over,
the Shiloh is only going to come up when the lease is over.
Oh.
Okay. So that's what, if you remember, there was a share here on Dina de Mochusadina, and that issue came up, that the Shach seems to hold that anything which is Dina de Mochusadina is not worse than the Minhag HaMedina. And once it's the Minhag HaMedina, then you have to follow the Minhag HaMedina. So Ramosha, someone wrote him a tshuva about this. Someone wrote him a shaila about this. He writes there that I don't write written tshuvas about Dina de Mochusadina. Period. He says, first of all, it's a complicated sugya, and I don't want to get back into it right now. And second of all, I don't need to have in writing what I think about Dina de Mochusadina. I don't want to get in trouble. And I'm not writing. And second of all, you already wrote a nice tshuva about it. You don't need me on this. Here, it's written to the Admor Halberstam, Admor me Chinish. Maybe you know how to pronounce it. Chishinov, I don't know. Okay. So he said, you already wrote the truth. So he says like this. He says, obviously, the whole Shiloh, what Rabbi Shaffron is saying, is obviously talking about someone that you started the lease before the laws were there. And in the middle of the lease, the laws were enacted. Because if the laws were there at the time of the lease, then that becomes a Minhag HaMedina and the whole lease was done. I'll die to Tahachi. So that's the rule. So the Gemara, and he says, so why are there 10 or 15 blad and bum metzia explaining the Minhag HaMedina? Why does it ever matter what the Minhag is in Babylonia 2,000 years ago? Whatever. Why does that matter? Why is there ever Gemaras about this? If every place you're going to go, you're just going to follow the Minhag of that place, what's the point? This is obviously, there's two reasons. Number one is if you want to establish a new community of Pitaira. So this is the way the Torah's Das is, should be the Minhag. Number two is in a place that there's no Minhag. So when there's no there's no competing minhag, or you want to establish a new minhag. So it's telling me what the proper minhag is. But that's clear that in a place where the minhag is different from what it says in the Gemara, that becomes the minhag. And therefore, everyone's das is to follow that. So Ramesha says, regardless of dina de malchus adina, if the laws were there at the time of the lease, then the sugya is irrelevant. You follow the minhag, and therefore you'd be stuck. But your shaila is, what happened if the laws changed in the middle? So that becomes very shy. They're very problematic. So he says, that's all he says really here. If you look in the you don't have it there. I'll just read it to you. He says, the shal is soicher she'ena roitze lotes. Soicher does not want to leave the apartment. And he wants it back. That's the shayla. It's a fundamental shayla. Tovshin Yud Zayin. Long time ago. Right? 70 years ago, 65 years ago. So he says, Aval Anias Dai Dibub de Zu, the Osu Medina de Machusa, Shamaski Ein Yochel Loitzi as a Soicher. Ein Anidin Kan Mitzad Dina de Machusa. Ela Leilu Shisochu Koidim Shinase Adin. That's when the whole Sugi says, Aval Leilu Shisochu Achashikvanas Adin Amalchus. Below his to be fairish, not like that. So have a stam kehisnu shadaita the din of the machusa hiskila.
But he does say you could make a tanai kineged.
Yeah, but is that legal?
No.
Okay, so then you can.
That's what I'm saying.
So I guess every in the last 65 years things change, but they're changing these things constantly.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is the perspective of Ramosha. So Ramosha says that the din of the machusa is going to end up being at least no worse than the minhag. It's not going to be any less binding than the minhag. It's going to be considered like a minhag. There is a tshuva from Rav Henkin. And Rav Henkin had a much different approach to the whole dina de machus adina. And he basically writes that in this country where you are voting in the people, and they're making rules which are supposedly for the benefit of the tzibur, and even if they're liberal or whatever, and they're making rules which seem to you to be, because the din of the machus adina, the Gemara says, if it's only benefiting one segment of society, it's not considered binding. So let's say they make rules only if you're Catholic, Protestant. If you're only that, X, Y, that's where the rules apply. So clearly that's just a rule to benefit themselves. That's not a fair and just rule. You don't have to follow that.
What about a rule that favors poor people?
Oh, so he says a rule which is favoring poor people, that's goofa for the benefit of the society. That's not considered, he says, benefiting one. That's not what the place can mean when they say, if the government made a rule benefiting one segment of society, you don't have to follow it. They mean one segment of society, meaning where it's unfair. But if it's benefiting one segment of society, which is the poor people, that's also fair. Forget it, that's good. Even though it looks like it's not benefiting the landlords, but they decided that we have to protect the poor people for whatever reason. So that's not considered an unfair rule. And therefore, it's clear that in this country of fair and just rules, and that we voted them in, we must follow all the rules and legal ramifications. And never, even between two Jews, they would go to Beis Din. The Beis Din would be obligated to follow the minhag of Medina, the din of the Machusa, in implementing the rule. Rav Moshe didn't quite say that. Rav Moshe said it'll end up being like a minhag of Medina, you know, whatever. But if you spoke out that you don't want to be the minhag of Medina and it's not binding, you could do that. But Rav Henkin is basically saying that we are bound to the rules, to the laws. It's a very interesting perspective.
So he uses the opinion about this being all about the fellows. Fellows did whatever he wanted. Most of his rules were inherently unfair. It was all about whatever they know.
No, but that's what he's saying. So there's two types of din and the machusas. There's when it's unfair and, you know, high taxes, whatever, or high taxes for the Jews and low taxes for the non-Jews, stuff like that. But when it's when there's also rules that they have to make to protect and benefit the society, that you have to follow. So Rav Henkin's saying all these rules in our country are under that category, and more or less you have to find them. And he basically brings rent control as an example.
That's
That's a slippery slope, because if you say that there's rules and laws that benefit the people in the LGBTQ woke community that are not fair for the rest of society, then is that not fair, or is that, can you say, well, that's to benefit the liberal mindset of the society? It's a slippery slope when you draw the line, what's fair and what's not fair.
I mean, you voted for these people who made those rules. That's the point that
you said. Right. And he's kind of saying, well, you're right. I don't know the answer to the question, but the point, what he's saying is exactly Menashe's point, which is that this is not a monarchy in that sense. This is more, it's more like an HOA.
Right.
It's one big HOA, you know? You voted in together. You may not like exactly what the board decides, but you're all in it together. And now you have to follow those rules because you voted them in. That's his perspective, which I also heard this from a personal shechter. Also, he gave all share that in democratic countries, dinah nochusadina is no shaykhis to the olden days.
Torah law will not override rent control. Then.
That's the Rav Henkin's mahalach. I'm saying in Rav Moshe's tshuva, it was pretty clear he was not going with that. He didn't want to put it in writing exactly, but he basically said that it's anyway irrelevant, the shayla, because it doesn't make a difference if you're technically binding. It's technically binding. It's binding because that was the understanding that you both went in on when you rented it. So that's why it's binding. All right. So, you know, that I thought that was an interesting twist on this whole Shaila. What I want to do maybe next week, 2 weeks, approaching Pesach, is I want to do the halachic status of corporations. Go off this a little bit. This halacha status of corporations is obviously very nogeya to chametz. So chametz, if you own stock in a company or whatever, and it's nogeya to nakosher, it's nogeya to ribis, so you get to a lot of things. And bechlal, the whole concept of like, you know, I own something and there's an LLC and like, oh yeah, that's the LLC, that's not me. You know, like, does that exist in halacha? Do we respect that concept, bechlal? Or just a pass through, and who you fooling, you know? So we'll see if we're going to try to put it together. Okay. Shkoyach. Kol tov, everyone. Shkoyach.